Hart gecheckt wird euch präsentiert von Prechtl. Regional einkaufen und genießen. Deine Supermärkte in der Region Rosenheim.
Hart gecheckt. Der Podcast zu den Star Bulls Rosenheim. Präsentiert von der OVB Sportredaktion.
Servus und herzlich willkommen bei Hart gecheckt, dem Podcast der OVB Sportredaktion zu den Star Bulls Rosenheim. Es ist die 78. Ausgabe und wir haben viele Themen. Das 5-Punkte-Wochenende der Rosenheimer, die Premiere von Fabian Tietz und Timo Pulkkinen und das Zehntelsekundendrama beim Heimsieg. Wir, das sind Thomas Neumeier und Marinus Obermeier von der OVB Sportredaktion. Servus Marinus.
Servus Thomas.
Und wir sprechen darüber und natürlich über viel mehr mit unserem heutigen Studiogast, dem aktuellen Goldhelm der Star Wars Rosenheim. Herzlich willkommen bei Hartgecheckt, Wille Järveleinen.
Hallo, servus.
Servus. Now we switch to English, Wille. And it's our tradition for our guests to introduce themselves with a few words.
Okay.
And we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah. Hi, everyone, and everyone who's listening this. And obviously, thank you for having me here. It's really nice to be here, and it's a pleasure. And I'm Ville, and 32 years old, and coming from Finland, being in Germany for almost 10 years now, and having great time in Rosenheim. I really like to be here. This is a wonderful place to be, and it's cool here.
Yeah, nice to hear. Thank you for this introduction. Now let's get started with the first period. We're looking back to the two games that Star Wars were winning. It was a fantastic game at home against Kassel, 3-2 in the overtime, and 3-1 at Bad Nauheim.
Werbung!
Servus Marinus, hast du schon gehört, was in Oberaudorf abgeht?
Na Thomas, was denn? Nur ein Kaffee oder so?
Also ich kenne bis jetzt ganz viele Fußballer und Wintersportler aus Oberaudorf, aber jetzt wird es noch besser. Prechtl baut einen neuen Supermarkt ab 2026 mitten in Oberaudorf und nicht bloß irgendeinen, sondern einen, der richtig was drauf hat. Regionale Produkte, Service mit Herz und alles mit Verantwortung für Umwelt und Menschen. Und wer jetzt schon Lust hat mitzumachen, der kann sich direkt bewerben. Prechtl sucht Mitarbeiter für den neuen Markt, ein Arbeitsplatz, bei dem der Mensch zählt.
Übrigens könnt ihr euch auf den Social Media Kanälen jetzt schon über den Markt informieren und all die Baufortschritte begleiten. Infos zur Bewerbung findet ihr außerdem auf prechtl.de/karriere.
Bei Prechtl, da geht's mal gut.
Werbung Ende.
Ja, Wille, the team scored 5 points again this weekend. Again, it's the second time in this season. What is your summary after these two games?
Yeah, I feel like we have kind of found our like identity with the team, and like the way how we play and the way how we can win the games. Mm-hmm. And it's the whole team working together, everyone being on the same page, doing a good solid defense, playing like with our system. Mm-hmm. And then obviously like we have a lot of offensive like skill in our team too, and with that, like I think we can beat any team in this league, and we can really be a top team for sure. And I guess especially a Friday game against Kassel, we prove it that even that we scored that the last second goal, but like I think like overall we were better team in that game. Yeah. And like it was tight game, and maybe we were just that much better that we deserve it to get 2 points, but I think we show it to ourselves and our fans and everyone that we can beat any team in this league.
This was a long answer for a finish.
I can keep it shorter.
It's okay.
Yeah, let's start with the game against Kassel. You had some pretty good chances in the first period, some breakaways, 2-on-1 situations. Did you expect to have so many opportunities against the league leader?
I did expect that, because like just like I said, like I think when we are playing our system and we are defense like well, then we will get our chances too. Like, it's like our system is not only like defense. It's like just like defense first, and that's the important thing. But like, it will give you the chances too. Like, when we are all together and like defense well, then that will open up like the things. And yeah, like I was not like surprised that we got a lot of chances even against like a really, really good team.
Nevertheless, it was 0-1 after the first period and 0-2 in the second. How did you manage to keep the turnaround?
Yeah, I mean, you just gotta like believe on that thing and like just keep doing it after like shift after shift, and like just like I said, like those chances will come, and then the power plays are coming, and of course our power play need to be a lot better, but yeah, like, you just gotta like believe it, and then you just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and those chances will come, and then just
focus, shift and shift, yeah, and keep it simple.
Yeah.
You scored one goal in the power play. It was the goal from Joel Coyson shortly before the second break. How important was that goal? So you go into the break and you know it's okay, it's just one goal left.
Yeah, I mean, it always gives a little bit of energy, and it's usually those goals like right before the break and right after the break, they change the game a little bit more than a goal like in the mid period, because then obviously like the other team, they're going in the locker room and sitting with that feeling for a break, and then obviously the other team is getting that energy and that boost, and it's a big thing.
It was the situation shortly before the end. Oskar Autio was out of the goal, and Timo Pulkkinen had to commit a foul to prevent maybe the third goal from Kassel. How did you see that this scene? And
it was actually funny. I was telling Teemu after the game that it's like, it's funny how important that penalty was for him, because if he would not take that penalty, they would probably score the empty net goal.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we killed we were on shorthanded, and then we pulled the goalie again, and then Maxi Adam, he scored that crazy goal at the end. But like, that's how small things can happen. Like, if Teemu wouldn't take that penalty, then I think it would be a 3-1 game and game over. So sometimes even penalties are good things.
Marinus has to analyze the game for us, and he saw it also. It was the important scene of the game.
Yeah, for sure.
You said it. There were 10 seconds left. You were shorthanded, and there was the face-off in your own zone. How was the communication on the ice? What did you talk about before this face-off?
I mean, at that moment, you just like, you try to win the face-off and get it on the other end as quick as possible. And the guys who were on the ice, they did really good job on that. I don't know, obviously, what was the plan for Kassel, but like, our guys did a really, really good job on that, winning the face-off and getting on the other end, and like somehow being able to score on that situation. Like, yeah, it was crazy.
How did you experience it, that scene that led to the equalizer?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm seeing it ever before that, like the last second, and especially just like you said, like it was like our penalty kill in our zone at 10 seconds left. So like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen again, but good that it happened to us.
Was it the plan to get Maxi Adam to shoot on the goal?
I don't know. I don't know. But for sure, he was the right guy for that.
Yeah, there was the late goal. You then had that penalty against you in the overtime. You had to kill it. You did. And then the momentum was definitely on your side, right?
Yeah. That's a pretty normal way how the hockey goes. Like, just like I said earlier, that those goals, like at the end or right at the beginning, like they always like change the momentum like a little bit. And yeah, I could say I was almost like 100% sure, like if we kill that penalty, and like the guys who were killing it, they were doing an unbelievable job on that. Like, I don't think like Kassel had not even like really good chances on that 4-on-3, and that's obviously a huge credit for our guys who were killing it. And yeah, I was almost sure that if we kill that penalty, then we're going to win the game either on the overtime or then latest at the shootouts.
The fact that Shane Haener make it even a few seconds on the clock in the overtime,
yeah,
this makes it more crazier.
Yeah, for sure. Shane is obviously like unbelievable player and such a good skater, and his vision on the ice, and yeah, I mean, I think he could play in a lot higher leagues than L2, but yeah, he's. Yeah, then when it goes on overtime and it's 3-on-3 and more space on the ice, then yeah, Shane is absolutely a guy who you want to be on the ice.
And he make it like a real offensive player.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like I said, like he's such a good skater, like unreal shape, and like he's never tired. And yeah. I can't say like much more about that guy. Like he's unreal.
He's never tired, so he can score in the 65th minute.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, let's go to the second game of the weekend. It was in Bad Nauheim. There was something different for you. You had a different center forward in your line, Scott Faeser instead of CJ Stretch. How was it to play with him? What were the differences?
I mean, they are both like really, really good players, and yeah, Scotty, he can play in any position, any line, and any situation. What, no matter like what's the score or if it's PK power play, he's doing unreal job on every time, no matter where you put him. And obviously CJ too, like he's our captain, our leader, one of the probably the most skilled player in this league. And yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter which one you play. Like it's as a winger, it's pretty easy to play when you have a centerman like Scotty or CJ or anyone in our team. So yeah, it's pretty easy to play.
You played a very defense game on Sunday. Does this the style you want to play?
I mean, of course, like every team wants to offense too, and wants to create chances and score a lot of goals. But like sometimes you have to like understand the reality. And like we only had basically we played with three lines, especially after Teemu got hurt on the first shift. And yeah, then sometimes that changed your a way to play a little bit. Yeah. And then you just gotta, especially on the road, you just have to like find the way, like how you're going to win the game. It doesn't really matter like how you do it. But yeah, if it's more defense, then it's more defense. And yeah, at the end, we got the 3 points, and that's all what matters.
The coach is happy, even it's 7-5 or 3-1.
Yeah. I don't know if Jari is happy if we let the 5 goals against, but for sure. Like
he's happy about the 3 points.
Everyone is happy. Whenever you get the 3 points, then you're done your job.
Yeah.
The last period was a defensive battle. It was really hard for you guys to defend your own goal. What do you focus on in such a battle in your own zone?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's how it usually goes. Like when other team is pushing it, then you're having a one goal lead, then it's pretty natural that you're getting a little bit more on the defense side. And yeah, then you just try to keep them outside and staying out of the penalty box. Obviously, I took that one penalty right at the end, like 3 minutes to go. But again, our PK was doing a really, really good job there and killing it. And yeah, then at the end, Oscar was making those saves what he needs to do it. And yeah, then that's what it is.
This PK was also a special moment for this game, and the decision was made with an empty net, and you were involved.
Yeah, I came from the penalty box, and then I don't know, was it the icing or what happened, but yeah, we couldn't change, and yeah, then it was me, Scotty, and was it maybe Goose? We were on the ice as a forwards, and then Maxi Adam, and I don't remember who was the other D-man, but we did a pretty good job on 5-on-6, and they didn't got that many chances on that, or I don't even know if they got the shot on net. And then obviously Maxi won that puck battle on the wall, and that was huge. And yeah, then Scotty scored after that.
Mm. You scored that assist in the last game, but you haven't scored a goal in 5 games now. Does that bother you at all, or do you say, we got the win, just put it aside?
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, everyone wants to score, and especially if you're a goal scorer, like, as I want to be. And so, yeah, of course, like, you want to have your goals and help the team that way too. But, like, I think, like, anyone would rather take the team win and not to score than the other way, that you score one goal and team loses. So, yeah, I mean, of course, like, it's not a secret that if you score goals, then you help your team. But yeah, there's like so many other ways to help your team too. And if the puck doesn't go in, then it doesn't go in. But then you do the other things as good as possible, and sooner or later, also, you're gonna get your own goals too. But yeah, like I said, like, the most important thing is obviously that the team is winning.
You were close a few times of scoring, especially in the power play. What is your decision? What is your criteria of your decision if you take a one-timer or make the pass again?
Yeah, I mean, I try to shoot almost every time when I can. And if I feel that now I can't shoot, then it's probably the right decision to not shoot, because a lot of times I'm taking a shot even I should not take a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have a feeling that I should not shoot, then it's probably the right feeling, because yeah, like I said, like, I'm taking those unnecessary shots sometimes, and if you miss the net or something, then obviously, like, it maybe look stupid and like that, but yeah, it happens so fast on the ice, so like, you can't really like plan it before.
Yeah.
Like, you just need to play with your instincts and yeah.
But when you take an unnecessary shot, you can surprise the goalie.
yeah, that's true. That can happen. And like, yeah, sometimes you just gotta shoot, and maybe it hits someone's leg or goes in that way, and then you look smart after that. But like, when it doesn't work, then you look maybe stupid. But yeah. It's that's how it is. Yeah.
Yeah. There's another new goal scorer on the team, new teammate Timo Pulkkinen. How did you experience him in his first week in Rosenheim?
Well, yeah, first of all, like, super, super, super nice guy, very humble, works hard. Obviously, like, he's a professional on the top level. Like, he's been in the NHL, KHL, and the way how he works and does his, like, daily work, puts it in there. And, like, yeah, super nice guy, humble, obviously, lots of experience with him. And for sure, he's going to be a huge help for our team.
Hmm. You know him before personally?
No, like, we've been playing against each other on juniors and Finnish first league also, and yeah, maybe we were one tournament in a juniors national team together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that, but yeah, no. Other than that, I didn't know him before.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I was there when he had his first ice training in Rosenheim last Wednesday. You took a close look at the stick during that. His curve is really special, isn't it?
Yeah, he has, I was actually looking his stick, and he has a very short stick too, like, it's shorter than my stick, and which is kind of funny, because he's probably like 10-15 centimeters taller than I am, and yeah, his curve is actually the original Ovechkin curve. So yeah, it was interesting to see it, like, what kind of curve is that? And I took a couple shots with that stick, but yeah, I guess you need to be a little bit better shooter to use that curve. So it's not for me, but for Ovechkin and Teemu, it looks like it works pretty good.
The stick, is it, we saw it on the photos, is it the reason that he has to go on the knees when he shoots?
I don't know. That's a question that you need to ask him. I don't know, but I think it's probably that you get a little more power on your shot when you put your body on it.
And yeah,
that's probably a reason. But for a better answer, you can ask him.
We will do.
Yeah.
So that was our first period with a look back, a good look back with 5 points.
Yeah.
And then going to the second period. All right. And it's all about you.
Okay.
About Ville Järvelainen. And we hope we can get some information from you, how you live, how you was growing up. And we start with a little game. It's called 60 Seconds. And I will start a sentence and you have to finish it. And maybe let's see how many questions we get in to the 60 seconds.
Okay.
60 Sekunden, präsentiert von Brechtl. Wo der Mensch zählt, im Markt und im Team.
When I want to relax, I...
What's the movie?
My favorite holiday destination is...
Spain.
If I hadn't become a hockey player, I would be...
Basketball player.
My childhood idol was...
Timo Salani.
The best player I've ever played with is...
Alexander Barkov.
Before the game, I eat...
Bolognese.
After the game, I eat...
Whatever the teams gives us.
Okay. Before the game, I really need...
Massage.
Okay. In the dressing room, I sit next to...
Shiche and Luigi.
We usually talk about...
Hockey.
On a long away trip, I
take a nap.
Dauert ein bisschen länger als 60 Sekunden. Lohnt sich aber. Bewirb dich jetzt und werde ein Teil vom Brechtl-Team. Hier geht's mir gut.
Okay. You watch movies when you want to relax? Which movies?
Any movie. Doesn't really matter. I like the documentary sport things and things like that, but basically like any movie.
Do you like a special documentary? Is there one you say, wow?
Well, I gotta say on Netflix, The Last Dance about the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan. Yeah, that was like unreal. I could just like watch that thing over and over again.
Okay, I think basketball is your favorite sport again?
No, it's not. It wasn't joking. Yeah, the joke was about my height. So obviously, maybe I would be a golfer if I would not be a hockey player.
How much golf do you play in the summer?
A lot. Like whenever I have a time, then I will go golfing for sure. I don't know like how many rounds, but a lot.
Childhood idol, Timo Salonen. Do you know him personally?
No, I don't know him like personally. I met him like a couple of times actually in a golf course, but I can't say that I know him.
Yeah. Okay, Willy, you grew up in Hämeenlinna?
Yep.
Is it right from
pronunciation? Hämeenlinna, yeah.
I think it's a bit like Rosenheim with a population and it's between Tampere and Helsinki, so like Rosenheim, Munich and Salzburg.
Yeah. It's that's actually a very good way to say it. Like it's kind of small city, similar size than Rosenheim and 1 hour away from Helsinki, so almost the same than Munich here. And beautiful city. We have a lot of lakes. Mm-hmm. In Hämeenlinna, which we don't have that much in here. We obviously like we still have some lakes here, but I think here the mountains are the big thing, and in Finland and Hämeenlinna the lakes are the kind of the big thing.
Okay.
Did you play hockey on those rinks when you grew up?
Sorry?
Did you play hockey on these lakes when you grew up?
Yeah, you can go skating, but it's not like really that you can play like hockey there. It's more like just a skating around on a lake but obviously Finland has now the winters are getting worse and worse, but almost like every little part of the city has like a outdoor rink, so like you can go skating there and playing hockey, and that's what you do your whole childhood.
What is like growing up in Hämeenlinna?
I mean, yeah, it's a hockey town, I would say. Like hockey, they have a first league team, and hockey is the biggest sport over there, and it's great. My whole family is from there, I don't know, like it's a great place to be.
For you, it was always hockey.
Yeah, always hockey. I played soccer when I was younger, and Finnish baseball. It's like hard to explain it. I think it's only in Finland where you play that sport, but that's what I did.
Yeah, he told me he played baseball too.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of Finns are done that, and actually an unreal game.
Okay,
I love it.
Oh, okay. We have to look for Finnish baseball.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah.
Maybe on YouTube there are some videos.
Yeah, for sure. You can find
that. Okay. When did you start playing hockey?
When I released, probably when I was 3 or 4 years old.
Okay.
Then that's when I started the skating. And when you go to the first like team, then I guess you're probably like 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And you played the whole junior teams at Hämeenlinna?
Yeah. Yeah. Except I was 1 year in the USHL in Green Bay.
Yeah.
That was like later on my junior career.
Yeah. You played also for the junior national teams?
Yes, I did.
How did it feel to represent your country?
Well, obviously it's an honor every time you can play in a national team, and especially when you get to the World Championship tournaments like under 18 and under 20s, then that's a special moment for you. And it was, like I said, it's an honor and very, very nice things to do. And something that you can remember forever, for sure.
Let's talk about the under 18 team World Championship. There are some well-known players in the team. Willy Borka now plays in Munich.
Yeah, now he's in Munich, yeah.
Are you still in touch?
No, we are not like talking to each other, but for sure, like if I would see him on the street, we would say hi and talk to each other for sure.
It's only 1 hour.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Jonas Valkonen was in Rosenheim 2017.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You know this?
Yeah, I remember. I think I played against him when he was in Rosenheim.
Oh, yeah.
I was in...
you were in Heilbronn.
Heilbronn that year, yeah, I think so.
We come to that later.
Yeah, okay.
And of course, Toivo Teräväinen.
Yeah.
Now Chicago Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Did you talk to Lukas Reichel when he was there in summer about him?
Yeah, we were talking a little bit. Lukas was saying obviously a nice things about the Teuvo, but I knew it that already. Like Teuvo is a very nice guy and a very skilled player, like one of the best hands that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. He was with Lukas when Lukas get the news of the trading to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to the shopping center. They wanted to buy Halloween costumes. And then Lukas get the call.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. That's NHL. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, let's stick with the national team. You played in the World Championship with the under-20s as well.
Yeah.
And you said it earlier, Alexander Barkov was one of your teammates. Mm-hmm. How are your memories about him and this time?
Well, good memories. Like, quiet guy, but very, very humble. He does his job every time and doesn't talk much, but when he, even like with us, he was like obviously 2 years younger than everyone else, but like you can see that he has that a leadership with himself, and especially like when he's talking, then for sure like you should listen in, because he doesn't talk much, but when he's talking, he's for sure saying something good things. And a funny story about him was on the power play when we were in the same power play, and then he just took the whiteboard and like I said, like he's always so quiet, doesn't talk, but on the power play meeting he was just like taking the whiteboard and then putting X and O's on the board and just telling that, okay, give me the puck and get open and I will find you guys.
Didn't you need a coach? He was the coach.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a guy like Barkov on a power play, I don't think like a coach need to really tell him what to do. Like, I'm pretty sure like he knows he knows what to do.
And you listen, even if it's the younger guy?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter about the age. Like, yeah, when you have a guy like that, you better listen.
Okay, now he's a two-time Stanley Cup champion as a leader, as captain of the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, then you said it, you spent one season in America at the USHL. What were your thoughts for getting to America and getting in the USHL?
I was playing in Finnish U-20 league before, and I was I was U18 at that moment, and I had like a pretty good season already in U20. I think I was second in the league with the points, and at that time, me and my agent and my dad and my coaches, even my coaches in Finland, they were kind of like thinking that you need to take a next step. But like at that moment, I was still like 17, 18 years old, and going to the Finnish first league was kind of like not an option. Like I was not ready for that, and I was too young and not strong enough. And even to the Finnish second league, it was kind of the same thing. Like Finnish second league was like very good team, and like not good team, I mean a good league, and a lot older league at that moment. And we just thought that I'm not ready for that yet. And then my Finnish agent and then my USA agent, who's actually a Florida Panthers GM right now, the Bill Chito. I'm not sure how you say his last name correct, but he was telling me that the Green Bay would be a good option for me, and then he got me there, and it was one of the best years for me for sure.
Why?
Just the experience, and you're moving away from your mom's and dad's place, and you, of course, like you're living in a billet family over there too, so like you're not living alone. But for me, it was like great thing. Like I didn't speak any English before that, and I needed to go to high school over there, and then we won everything what you can win in that league, and we break pretty much the every record what you can break as a team, and at the end we won the championship, and then I graduated from the high school from there, and so it was like super nice experience for me, and I'm glad that I did it.
Okay.
So why did you just spend 1 year in America?
Well, then after that season, it was kind of like the same thing that you needed to take a next step. And then I actually got the offer to go to a university, St. Cloud. They offered me a full ride. And obviously I didn't take it. And now looking back, like that's a big mistake that I didn't do it. But then I had the offer to coming back to Finland and playing in the second league. And maybe, you're 18 years old, you think like, okay, it's nice to be a pro hockey player, and you think like it's a cool thing. But for sure the school would be maybe a smarter thing at that moment. But
it is.
Back to Green Bay Gamblers, your coach was Derek Lalonde.
Yeah.
He was last year head coach of Moritz Seider at the Detroit Red Wings. What was he looking back?
Very, very nice coach, and obviously a good coach. You're not getting a head coach in the NHL if you're not a good coach. But funny thing with him was like he was never yelling. He never needed to yell his team. Of course, like we were pretty much the whole season, we were the number one team.
You were always winning.
Yeah, we were always winning.
Getting the chance to yell.
Yeah, we never lost in the whole season. We never lost two in a row.
Yeah.
So that probably makes a little bit easier for a coach to not yell his team. But even the times when he was like angry or somebody did something stupid, or like in that league there is like a pretty like strict some rules, like home curfews, and like you need to be home and in a time when they tell you to be home. And if some guys were late, then the next morning you will get the punish on the practice. And then he was like, even on those days he never yelled. He just said like, okay, this guy did this and that, and now the whole team will pay the price. And usually with him, he did it that if you were the guy who kind of like did something stupid, then he made that guy to go in on the bench, and he made everyone else to skate.
Okay.
So then the guy who fuck it up something, then then obviously it's not nice to see it that everyone else is skating because of you. And usually it stops after that. Then you don't do it again.
Okay. Oh, good. Yeah, look to Marinas. He's a youth coach. Maybe he can try it again at this time.
Yeah, it's
maybe. Yeah, then went back to Finland and you played your first games in the top league. How was it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's your dream always when you're young, and of course you're always dreaming about playing in your home team. And yeah, I was lucky to have that opportunity, and yeah, great memories. But yeah, I still think I wasn't quite ready for that. And but yeah, you learn from that, and it is what it is.
Mm. You played then at Saipa. Mm-hmm. And your coach was Pekka Tirkkonen.
Yeah.
He also a name that we know in Rosenheim.
Okay.
Well, you know this? He played one season here at maybe it's 1969. And
okay. Yeah.
That's really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. He was obviously a good player. I think he won the championship with the national team in 1995. I think he was on that team. And yeah, great coach. Also a little bit more like a quiet coach, but yeah, knows the game very well.
In 2016, you came to Germany. Your first stop was in Heilbronn. You were fighting for relegation, mm-hmm. and you kicked Rosenheim out of the league.
Yeah.
Did you have to apologize when coming here?
No. But yeah, I remember we play against Rosenheim, and already I like at that moment I remember like this was the crazy place to play, and like the fans were so loud, and the building was a little bit different, but like crazy place to play. And obviously unfortunately that Rosenheim went down after that season, but yeah, then the club did the good job on Oberliga and got back here, and yeah, for sure one of the best places in Del 2 to play, and hopefully in DEL in someday.
I make it easier for you. You didn't score in these three games against Rosenheim.
Okay.
Then you were one season in Denmark, and then 5 years in Bayreuth. And in one season, you scored 56 goals and make 40 assists. What was it to feel so well and to make all the goals there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the line mates. And especially in that year, I played with Kason Homan, mm-hmm. probably one of the best passers that I ever been playing with. And he was like, he was also the guy who was like so like unselfish. So like he like sometimes even like a little bit too much. Like he always tried to look where I am, and just like forcing that pass to me. And for sure, that's like the biggest reason I would say that I scored so many goals in that season and broke the record. And sometimes he should shoot for sure.
Yeah.
He would have so many more goals if he would shoot, but he always just wanted to pass it to me. And I would say like he was the biggest reason.
Hmm. Did you ever receive some offers from the top league after that year? I mean, these are very impressive statistics.
I guess my agent was talking with some teams, but at that moment, I really wanted to stay in Bayreuth. It was a great place for me and my family, and my son was born in there, and it was at that moment it was like easy decision for me to stay there, and they offered me 3-year deal, and it was easy decision to stay there, and yeah.
So in about 15 years, we get the next hockey player, Järvelainen, with a German passport.
Yeah, hopefully.
You were in Bayreuth captain and assistant captain a few years. What experiences did you have with this responsibility, and how do you apply this to this time in Rosenheim now?
I mean, for me, it was obviously a huge honor, especially because like we had the vote from the players, like who needs or who will be the captain, and the players voted me to be the captain, and it was a huge honor for me, and I was very, very happy to do that and being the captain. And I mean, every season you learn something, and it doesn't matter if you're a captain or not, and you just try to learn and take those with you. And with me, like I'm always trying to be like pretty positive guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like even if you're losing or winning, then trying to have a smile on the face and coming to the rink and having fun, because like, even like hockey is your you know, like, I don't even know if you can call it as a job. Like, it's your hobby and you get paid for it. And so you're pretty, like, it's a privilege that you can do that. And yeah, you should enjoy it every day.
You then went on to Lausitz, and now you're in your second year in Rosenheim here. 4 different stations in Germany. What makes Rosenheim special for you?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of things, obviously, in Rosenheim, why it's so special place to be. But I would say, like, what's super nice here is that this is, like, the most professional, the place where I'm being in Delta. Like, everything here is, like, top level. And, yeah, everyone is doing their things, like, as professional as it should be. And, yeah, I would say that's, like, a special thing in Rosenheim, that you are getting treated like you're playing in a DL or Finnish First League. But obviously, yeah, we're playing in Dell too. But like, but yeah, it's very professional place to be.
Now, at the end of our second period, we make something personally about you, some more personally. Do you love some cliches?
Cliches? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe it fits because you're going to sauna. Right? Yeah. You love it, huh?
I love sauna, yeah.
Finnish guy and sauna, it's a cliche. What is the perfect sauna day for you?
I would say, like, the evening, you're at home, you put the kids in the bed, you put the sauna on to get heat up before you put the kids in the bed, and then when the kids are sleeping, then you go sauna and you just relax over there, and yeah, it's awesome. That's what I do all the time when I'm at home in Finland, and
we heard some rumors that maybe you're singing some songs in there too. Is that true?
No. It's, well, when we have a team sauna, and yeah, then I can have a couple of sauna songs there just for fun. But obviously, I'm not that crazy that I'm singing alone when I'm when I'm in sauna. So yeah.
And you are the guy who does everything that the sauna works. When you have the team sauna, huh?
No, yeah, well, no. Like, Luki Laub always organized the sauna. And okay. Then Petro, our Petroyer, he's make the fire and everything. So no. I'm not doing anything. I'm just enjoying and walking in. It's easy for me.
And what songs do you sing then?
are there sauna songs, especially for sauna?
Nah, I don't
Finnish
know.
Songs?
It's just more like fun and yeah, it's, yeah, there is not really like a certain song for that.
Okay, then let's move to our third period, and we're looking forward to the games on the weekend. We're looking ahead to the last two games before the international break, and both of which are away games, on Friday in Weiden and on Sunday in Düsseldorf. And maybe you can find everything you need to know about the games on the OVB local newspaper websites, in the e-paper, and of course on the OVB media social media channels. And now we come to the games, two away games. Do you already miss Rosenheim fans?
Yeah, of course.
Like, 1 weekend without.
Yeah, like I said, like, Rosenheim is a special place to play. And if you could wish, like, then you would play every game in Rofa Stadium in front of our fans. That's for sure. But obviously, a sad thing is that sometimes you need to play on the road too. Yeah. But yeah, usually we have our fans on the road too. And that's a huge support for us.
But it's always true that you score very well on away games. I think most of your goals were scored away this season. Why is that so? Is this something, is there a secret of that, or is it just that it happens because it happens?
I don't think there's any reason for that. It's just, yeah, I guess this season it's been just like that. And yeah, I don't know. There's not really any reason for that.
Okay, we heard you take a nap when you're on the away games, before also, or only after the game?
I always take a nap on the game day.
Yeah.
Also in the home games and road games, and that's just one routine for myself. And
you can sleep in the bus?
I can sleep
with all the guys.
Yeah. I can. A lot of guys are able to do that. Like,
okay.
They can sleep. There is always every team has a couple guys who just can't sleep on the bus, but for me, that's never been a problem.
not playing cards or something.
No.
Okay. Yeah, Friday's opponent, Weiden, currently had a lot of injured players. What are your expectations for this game?
Yeah, I mean, good team. They have, especially their like top guys are very skilled and yeah, they score a lot. Their top line is very good, and obviously that's something that we need to take care of.
Yeah,
take the time and space away from those guys, and still playing in our own game and our own system. Like I don't think we need to really change anything in our system because of the other teams. Like, because we have proven that when we play our system, we can beat any team. So I would like to think more that the other teams need to change their system to beat us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then looking forward to Sunday, Düsseldorf. Are you excited about the game in the big arena?
Yeah, it's very very nice game, and obviously never been in Düsseldorf before, so I'm excited about that, and it's a big game for our fans too. It's like a friendly fan. I don't know how to call that, but it's a big game coming up, and if you want to be the top team, then you gotta beat those other top teams too. So.
The game in Düsseldorf will start the second quarter of the season. You played against Düsseldorf on the first game day.
Yeah.
What did you take away from that game?
Well,
or was it possible to take anything away because it was the first game of the season?
Yeah, I mean, first game of the season, everyone is super excited. Fans are going crazy, and you know, like you've been waiting whole summer for the season to start, and it's pretty easy to get like ready for those games always, and we lost that game on overtime, I think, and it was still good for us to see it that we can beat that team, and like when we are playing our best game, then just like I said a couple times already, like I think we can really beat any team in this league.
Düsseldorf was going down from the DL, and much players went off and much come in, and it was the first game at Rosenheim. Do you mind if Düsseldorf is now an other team than at the first day?
I don't know. Every team is like always changing a little bit during the season, and you know, like you need to get better, like from the beginning until the end. And usually the team who's getting the most better, then they will have a success at the end.
Yeah.
And I think the Dresden is a good example last year. Like, I think they didn't start really well,
mm-hmm.
but they were getting better and better and better. And then at the end, they were the best team. And that's obviously a thing what every team is looking for.
Wille, last question. 2 weeks ago, Luis Sertogosic was here and he promised us the first 3-point win at home. Last week, Maximilian Adam was here and he scored the goal against Kassel. So what can we expect from you on the next weekend?
Well, you mentioned that I haven't scored in 5 games, so I will promise you at least 1 goal next weekend.
Okay, we'll take that.
Already? Okay, thank you for being here. Yep. It was a pleasure.
Thanks
for us.
Thanks for having me.
And I switch to German.
Ja.
Das war hart gecheckt, Folge 78. Mit Willi Järvelainen. Dankeschön nochmal fürs Kommen. Und Marinus, Auswärtsspiele, wir werden sie anschauen. Alles dazu gibt's natürlich auf den OVB Heimatzeitungen und auf den OVB Social Media Kanälen. Und danke fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal bei hart gecheckt. Servus.
Servus.
Podcast schon vorbei? Dann gleich noch was einkaufen. Hart gecheckt wurde präsentiert von Brechtl Bad Aibling, Brandenburg, Raubling und Bad Fallenbach. Bis zum nächsten Einkauf und zum nächsten Podcast.